In their houses, though, people didn't look so dark. I suppose that was because on the street I was more of a looker, half a tourist, and when I went to a house it was to be with people I had known years before, so I saw them more easily. To go back home was to play with impressions in this way, the way I played with the first pair of glasses I had, looking at a world now sharp and small and not quite real, now standard size and real, but blurred. The way I played with my first pair of dark glasses, moving between dazzle and coolness, or the way, on this first return, when I was introduced to air conditioning, I liked to move from the coolness of an air-conditioned room to the warmth outside, and back again. I was in time, over the years, and over many returns, to get used to what was new, but that shifting about of reality never really stopped. I could call it up whenever I wished. Up to about 20 years ago, whenever I went back, I could persuade myself from time to time that I was in a half-dream, knowing and not knowing. It was a pleasant feeling. It was a little like the sensations that came to me as a child when, once in the rainy season, I had fever. It was at a time like that, a time of fever during a return, that I heard about Leonard Side, a decorator of cakes and arranger of flowers. I heard about him from a schoolteacher. The school she taught at was a new one, beyond the suburbs of the town, and in what had been country and plantations right up to the end of the war. The school grounds still looked like a piece of a cleared sugarcane or coconut estate. There wasn't even a tree. The plain, two-story concrete building, green roof, cream-coloured walls, stood by itself in the openness and the glare. The teacher said, "The work we were doing in those early days was a little bit like social work, with girls from labouring families. Some of them had brothers or fathers or relations who had gone to jail. They talked about this in the most natural way. One day at a staff meeting in that very hot school with the glare all around, one of the senior teachers, a Presbyterian Indian lady, suggested that we should have a May Day fair to introduce the girls to that idea. Everybody agreed. And we decided that the thing to do would be to ask the girls to make flower displays or arrangements and to give a prize to the girl who did the best display. If you had a prize, you had to have a judge. If you didn't have a good judge, the idea wouldn't work. Who was the judge to be? The people we taught were very cynical. They got it from their families. Oh, they were very respectful and so on, but they thought that everybody and everything was crooked, and in their heart of hearts, they looked down on the people above them. So we couldn't have a judge from the government or the education department or anybody too famous. This didn't leave us with too many names. One of the junior teachers, very young, a country girl herself, fresh from the GTC, the government training college, then said that Leonard Side would make the perfect judge. Who was Leonard Side? The girl had to think. Then she said, "He worked all his life in flowers." Well, but then somebody else remembered the name. She said Leonard Side gave little courses at the WAA, the Women's Auxiliary Association, and people there liked him. That was the place to find him. The Women's Auxiliary Association had been founded during the war and was modelled on the WVS in England. They had a building in Paris Corner, which was in the heart of the city. There was everything in Paris Corner, a garage for buses, a garage for taxis, a funeral parlour, two cafes, a haberdashery and dry goods shop, and a number of little houses, some of them offices, some of them dwelling places, and the well-known Parry family owned it all. It was easy for me to go to Parry's Corner, and I offered to go and talk to Leonard Side. The WAA was in a very small building from the Spanish time, the flat front wall, a thick rubble wall plastered and painted with rusticated stone slabs at either end, rose up directly from the pavement, so that you stepped from the narrow pavement straight into the front room. The front door was bang in the middle of the pavement wall, and there was a little curtained window on either side. Door and windows had yellow-brown jalousies, linked wooden cross slats you could lift all at once and use an iron pin to close. A brown woman was sitting at a desk, and on the dusty wall, dust catching on the unevenness of the plastered rubble wall, were information office posters from England. The Tower of London, the English countryside. I said, "They tell me I could find Mr. Side here." "He over there, across the road," the woman at the desk said. I crossed the road. As always at this time of day, the asphalt was soft and black.